Talking on the phone and writing and everything, talking about him coming to support group, and I've told you about him a lot of times, and how sweet this guy is and how much he means to me. I really love him. Hey, Willie, praise the Lord. Good to see you here tonight, Betty. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Our visitor, could you tell me your name, sir? Dewey, okay. We're glad you're here. We'd like for you to become a part of us. If you would, just feel at home, worship with us, and I pray that you feel what we're feeling here tonight, in Jesus' name. Without, you know how I go on, I'm going to have Brother Raymond get right up here right now. I thank the Lord right now for this opportunity to be with you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, for you here that are supporting us in this support group. I just want to give Jesus all the glory for this time right now. And you that are visitors and people that are searching, I hope that my testimony is a blessing to you. The only reason why I'm up here crying right now is because God has truly changed my life. He's truly given me a born-again life. He's truly washed away all my sins. And I know I'm not worthy of it, but you know what? I accept it in faith. Because I know the scripture says that he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I know in myself I'm nothing, but in him I have everything. Amen. I want to take this time and ask you guys to pray with me, because this is the first time I've been able to stand in front of an audience to give my testimony, especially in my church, and I'm thankful for it. I know that there's people here that have children who are backslidden, and I want to tell you there's hope, because I'm here and I'm backslidden, but I'm back with Jesus, amen? And I want to tell you something, that don't ever give up. Keep pressing on, because our God is able. He's able, amen? I want to ask you to pray with me. Praise the Lord. My Lord God of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, Lord God, I want to thank you right now, my Lord, that we can be here to love you and to magnify you above all in this earth, my God, because it is you who have saved us and brought us out of the darkness into your marvelous light, my Lord. Father, I want to ask you, Lord, that you would anoint my lips tonight to touch the hearts out here, Lord, of your saints and of the people who need you tonight, Lord. Lord, may you be glorified in all of this, Lord. May your presence and your spirit take control of this place, Lord. May you and the fire of Pentecost meet us tonight, my God, because we can't do it alone. Lord God, we need a shield about us, and you're that shield tonight, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to praise you above all, Lord, because it is you. It is you who has delivered us, Lord, and it is you who set our feet upon a solid rock, and I thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we will not cease to give you all of the honor and the glory and the praise forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, I thank God Brother Mickey gave me a little while, because I would like to sing a song I'm not a good singer, but I'm doing it for the Lord. Amen. And what this is it's a song to you faithful saints who have been praying for years, for not only your backslidden children, but for those who are lost out in the world, for those who need healing, for those who need help, for those who need comfort, for those who need everything that only comes from the Lord. And I know it's because of the prayers of the saints also that I'm back where I'm at today.
Right.
That God gave me grace through the things that I went through when I was out in that world sick and in sin. That God gave me grace that I didn't die those many times that I should have died. That He let me walk out without a scratch on my body. And this song, I know, is because of His faithful people and their prayers. And I don't know how to sing too well, but I'm blessing the Lord tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can see. 'Cause Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching, I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. 'Cause Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, your angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked a barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. 'Cause Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the prayers of your saints, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That song means a lot to me because I know that it's the prayers of his saints that have kept me safe throughout this time. And I pray that through my testimony, you can see that those prayers were an actual reality in my life. Amen. I want to read a scripture to you as I open up because I believe it's very important. It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. Amen. I memorized it a long time ago, but I'll read it. So, praise God. The word of the Lord reads, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death." Amen. And that's what I want to share with you today, because I've overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony today. Amen. And I have loved not my life unto the death. And that's not meaning, you see, because to love not our lives unto the death is to love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is not the love of the Father. We want to walk in a newness of life. I know that if I love my life still the way I used to love it, and I walked in the ways I used to walk, I would be going to death because I'd be living in sin. But I know that when I deny myself and follow him and pick up my cross daily, that I'm walking with him in eternal life, because he's given his for mine that I might walk with him forever. And I believe that through the blood of the Lamb and by His grace, that every time I do make a mistake or fall, that I can plead that blood because I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And I believe through our testimonies, through the way we stand today, by you brothers and sisters being here, you're giving me a testimony of your life, that you love the saints, that you love people, that you love and you want to see people saved, and you want to encourage your brothers to press on. And your testimony to me is rubbing off on me. To look, I've longed so long, as I've been in prison these last almost 4 years, to come and look at apostolic people. Amen. To come and look at the beauty of holiness upon the women and men of God today. And I'm so thankful. I don't ever want to lose this. I don't ever want to take it as something common to me. I don't ever want this to be common to me because it's not common. We're a peculiar people called out of God that we might shine His lights in the world today. Just as God separated the children of Israel, He separated us that we might be the nation unto God among all nations, that we might proclaim His name and His truth today. I want to tell you today, all you that are visiting, that the Lord Jesus loves you with a love that I could never, ever put into words. It's something so beautiful and so righteous and so lovely that I don't ever want to let go of it. As a child, when I was born into this world, amen, I'm going to share my testimony. I was born with a mother who was a drug addict and a father who was an alcoholic. My father left my mother when I was 3 years old, and the faintest memory I can remember about my father is him beating my mother up and she laying in a pool of blood. And shortly after that, I ended up in a foster home at age 4 for about a year. And I can still remember seeing my mother through behind a glass as she was in jail, and I cried as the caseworker took me away. But through that, my mother fought and she got custody of me again. And my mom did the best she could as she knew how in herself. You see, but in herself, she couldn't do it right because she needs Jesus' guidance just as much as all of us. But I love my mom with all my heart, and I'm not ashamed of her today. When I was young, I was ashamed because of the things I had to live in. As I grew up, I didn't know too much about the Lord, but I knew I loved Jesus. Mom, I used to go to Catholic church, and we only went on Christmas and Easter. But I would go in and just walk through and look at the different things, and I remember I used to tell my mom when I was 5, Mom, I want to be a priest when I grow up. I don't want to be a gang member, Mom. And she would tell everybody, my little boy's going to grow up to be a man of God. And little did I know I wasn't going to be a Catholic priest, but God called us to be priests and kings unto Him. Amen? And I look at that now and I praise the Lord for that. And as I kept growing up and living with my mother, I watched her progress worse and worse into drugs. And myself, because of that, I became really rebellious at a young age. I ran the streets since 5, 6 years old. I would just do whatever I wanted. I didn't have any authority. I was rebellious to what my mom was doing. As time got on, it got worse and worse. She switched to harder and harder drugs, finally landed in heroin. And because of that, that destroyed our lives totally. By the age of 12, we were living on the streets. I was living on Baker. If you guys know where Baker's at, I was staying in those $5 motels. My friend's family would give me a ride home from spending time at their house, and I would be ashamed to have them drop me off. They would drop me off. I would pretend like I lived in a house. They would drop me off in front, and I would go to the door, wait for them to leave, and take off on my skateboard to Baker because I was ashamed. But through that, God gave me grace through a friend of mine, and my mom was heading downhill real bad. I could never find her. She was running the streets. Her and my sisters were selling their bodies right here on the street that I'm at today on Union Avenue. But through that all, one night, as I was staying on California Avenue, I had 2 little friends that I would play with all the time, and their dad was a Christian. And at 12, I went there, and he knew what my mom and everybody was doing, and he knew what I was going through. And he called me into the living room one day, and he told me, I need to talk to you. His boy stayed in the room, and he talked to me. And it was the first time he told me about Jesus Christ. And he told me that he would come into my heart and live in my heart and always be with me. And all I had to do was cry out to him and repent. And that's what he told me until I got more truth. Amen. But at that time, I sincerely cried to the Lord. And I cried with my heart at age 12. And I prayed for my mother and my family. And I wept. And he wept with me in that living room. And I left there on my skateboard shortly after that, being evicted out of my house in that neighborhood. And I went to East Bakersfield, and from there I met some friends that I used to ride skateboards with. And I met a friend named Aaron, and at 13 I was getting so bad I wasn't enrolled in school. I was ditching, doing whatever I wanted, mostly riding my skateboard. And at that time, my mom was getting worse and worse in heroin. She was going down the drain, and I knew it, and I knew that she was going to be in jail soon. And my friend's parents offered to let me stay at their house, and they become my foster parents, and if they wanted me to, they could adopt me. And that was one of the hardest decisions of my whole life to make, because I loved my mom. Even though what she was, I loved her. But I made that decision because I needed to grow up for myself. I had already had to grow up by what I had to live through. And I stayed with them, and they had grace enough to take me into their homes. And they were Mormons, but they had grace enough to help me. And they encouraged me. They would tell me, go to church. You don't even have to go to our church, but just go somewhere. And I thank God for that. But from then on, I got bad myself. I started smoking marijuana, running the streets, and I started using speed a lot. I was using speed every day from the age of 14 to 18 until I got kicked out of my foster home, and I lived on the streets. From then on, I didn't know any better, and I didn't know any other life but to use and sell drugs. So I started selling drugs, and I sold the drug of choice. I sold my marijuana, and I got me a room, and I started living and helping my friends who were living on the streets, too. We didn't know no other life. We didn't know anything else, but until at 19, the grace of God, I was running in a gang, a street gang here in Bakersfield, and one of my friends, who was one of the wildest in the bunch, one day my friends told me, you know, JJ, he changed his life. He gave his life to the Lord. JJ this, JJ that. And I'm like, no way, not him. They're like, yeah. And something inside me burned and said, go find him. Go find him. Go find him. And I couldn't stop. For 3 days, I went looking for this young man. And I'm driving around in a truck with my friend, and we're searching for him. And I find him one day, and we pick him up. And we're saying, what's going on? I said, JJ, I got to see you. I said, I don't know what's going on. I heard you gave your life to the Lord. What's going on? He's like, yeah. And he started witnessing to us about the Lord. And I'm smoking marijuana. And he said, do you love Jesus? I said, yes, I love Jesus. Out of ignorance. And he said, if you love Jesus, would you be smoking weed in front of him if he was here right now? And I said, no way. And he said, well, he is here. And I said, oh. And I put it away. From then, he invited me to church, and I went to a church, and it was the Apostolic Assembly Church here on Mount Vernon. And that was the first time that I ever felt the true presence of God or heard a message like that. I repented of my sins that night, went home and destroyed my bonds, destroyed everything I had, got rid of all my ungodly music, my posters, everything. I went back, and 2 days later, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. And from then on, I was on fire for God. I didn't know, I was ignorant still of His Word, but I started questioning, just like any new convert would. Well, what church is right? They're telling me to be baptized in Jesus' name, but this church is saying this. I want to know what's going on. And I watched JJ getting baptized. I wanted to be baptized so bad. I'm like, I want to get baptized right now. They're like, look, we need to teach you what baptism really means to you. And I said, if you don't put me in now, I'm going to jump in that water myself. And because of that, I rebelled, and I went to a church that would baptize me right away. And I went to a non-denominational church. But even though they say non-denominational, it's still a denomination when they have their own doctrine. The only doctrine that we need is the Word of God, the whole Word of God, the Apostles' doctrine that was given to us in the day of Pentecost. That's the important doctrine today. And I want to tell you, I had to discover that for myself through prayer and fasting and the revelation of God's Word. As I went there, I told the man what happened. And I said, look, I came from a church that told me I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to get baptized. And he said, I'll baptize you any way you want. I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or I'll baptize you in Jesus' name. And I said, yeah. I said, I'd rather believe the words of Jesus than Peter. And he said, yeah. But you know what he did? He compromised the Word of God right there. Now I know, because the Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture. So the word that Peter spoke that day on Pentecost to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is the true Word of God. And I had to discover that for myself. I ended up getting baptized there. And a couple months later, I backslid because I wasn't in sound doctrine. Even though they had a form of godliness, they denied the power thereof. I needed the fullness of truth. And it took me years to find it here. From then on, I backslid so bad that, like it says, 7 other demons are going to come. Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed to even tell you of the things that I did. And I thank God that He's put them under the blood. I praise the Lord that I don't have to look back on it no more, because Jesus truly delivered me. I'll tell you, when I went to prison and what I did is so terrible, so terrible. I've done things that you would call the way I was living Sodom and Gomorrah. It was just disgusting. But I thank God that through all that, He had grace. He had grace on my life.
I was in two major car accidents within 2 weeks. The first one, I was driving back from picking up 30 pounds of marijuana in Texas. Driving back, we had just got out of jail, got busted. Coming back, going 100 miles an hour, I was driving at 3 in the morning. I have a friend asleep next to me. I roll the car. He breaks his neck. He comes out. I walk out with not a scratch on my body. I lay him out flat. I didn't know what to do. He couldn't move. I laid hands on him and prayed for him. That's all I knew what to do. So I prayed for him, and thank God that God healed him. They took some bone from somewhere, and they fixed him. He's fine today, praise the Lord. But after that, 2.5 weeks later, I'm driving with another friend up north. And we're coming back, and I'm a passenger this time. And we're going over 100 miles an hour, and I tell this man, I said, if you don't slow down 5 seconds, we're going to roll this car. And he said, nah. And we're drinking. And next thing you know, 5 seconds later, that car was flipping. And we went and we slid through some almond orchards, and we didn't even hit a tree that I know of, but we flipped and we're upside down. I'm a passenger. By the time we're done, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and he's ejected out of the car 30 yards away. Praise God that he's all right today, but through that, he believes in the Lord now. And I've been shot at close range. Within 3 feet, somebody shot at me 4 different times, and it did not hit me. Because by the grace and power of God, I believe that, even though I was in a backslidden state. But you know what? I want to tell you something. If I would have died in sin like that, I would have went to hell. Because that's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And I even almost OD'd one time on drugs. And as I was OD'ing and I knew I was dying, I was having an asthma attack. I felt like I was swallowing my own tongue. I actually seen demons come. And I could hear something in my head saying, you're ours now, cursing at me and saying, you're ours. And I could feel something actually tugging on me, trying to take me. And I didn't know what to do. I cried out to the Lord. And I was so messed up on these drugs, I couldn't even pray. But I started singing praises that I remembered. And I started worshiping God, and these things left. And I thank God. But through that, I was still hard-headed. I still didn't give up my will to God. It finally took me to catch 4 years of prison. To be able to finally say, you know what, God, I recognize this. And when I walked in, at age 23, I walked in the prison. I reevaluated my life. And I looked at it, and I went back, and I remembered when I was serving the Lord those couple of months, and how beautiful it was, and how right I was with God. And I said, I need that, Lord. I need you, Lord. And Lord, I'll do anything. I'll surrender my will to you, Lord. And I repented of my sins, and it took weeks because I was so filthy. And the devil was attacking my mind, saying, you can't come back to God. You can't come back. You've already tasted of the heavenly gift. But I said, Lord, will you accept me as a prodigal? Lord, would you accept me if I run back to you right now? And what it took through that victory in my mind, what it truly took is when I said, God, even if I go to hell, I'm going to serve you from this day forward because I love you, Lord. And if I can live this life with you, I'm going to live it on this earth, even if I got to go to hell afterwards. I'm serving you. And from that, I had the victory. And from then on, I started saying, Lord, show me the truth. And this, here's where doctrine comes in. Amen. Show me the truth, Lord. Lord, I know. And I'm by myself. No man showed me this. Lord, show me the true baptism. What is the truth? Should I be baptized in your titles or should I be baptized in the name of Jesus? Lord, show me your name. And he said, look at here. Look at here and look at here. In John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And I said, well, there it is, Lord. The name of the Father is Jesus. And then I read and I said, and it said, and you shall bring forth the Son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I said, there it is, Lord, the name of the Son. And then he said, look at here, son. Look what I got for you in John 14:26. But the Comforter, whom is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring whatsoever things I have taught you into remembrance. Amen. And when I seen it, I said, oh, Lord, I got it. And I'm going to run with it, Lord. And when I got to that state prison, I went in and I said, I need to be baptized. I walked into a test. When I walked in, though, because don't forget, I'm still fighting the flesh. Because I used to run as a Southsider in prison. I had to walk in. I seen old, as they call so-called homies. And I had to make up my mind, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the devil? It's either one way or the other. There's no in or out. There's no in or out in this. So it was a long time struggling with that, and I kept quiet. But finally one day when I walked on the yard and I seen all the Southerners sitting on the bleachers waiting for the new guys to come in that they call fish. And I seen the chapel doors and I said, God, where do you want me to go? Lead me. As I put my stuff in my bunk, I walked straight into the chapel. And they were having testimony service that night, and I gave my testimony and cried out to God. And God renewed me in the Holy Ghost, and I was speaking in tongues, worshiping the Lord. And I knew that God was restoring my soul. And from that day on, I went to my old homies, and I said, guess what? I'm not yours no more. I'm Jesus's. Amen. I've been redeemed. I've been restored, and I've been renewed. And they said, you know what? We respect that, but don't come back to us. Because we're going to get you if you do. And I said, I respect what you say. And I said, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to be a testimony to you. And I thank God that he used me as a blessing on that yard. And as I grew, they had baptism. And there was 30 men being baptized. I was the last one. I didn't know any better. I didn't know. I walked in and they were all being baptized by a Trinitarian minister going down in the titles. And all I knew is I got in that water and I'm crying to God and I'm ready to get baptized. And I jumped up out of the water and I said, you better baptize me in the name of Jesus. And he said, okay. And he baptized me in Jesus' name. And I came out rejoicing. Oh boy, I was rejoicing. And one man came up to me and his name is Alex Orby. He said, you know what? You did the right thing. He said, I also believe in Jesus' name baptism. He said, I'm apostolic. He said, I'm a teacher in this church, but they said they'll kick me out if I teach Jesus' name baptism. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. Well, I said, we're going to have to work on that. And as I continue to fellowship with the brothers, because the Bible says to love everybody, and I really want to reach out to souls, whether you're a Trinitarian, a Jehovah's Witness, a Muslim, I don't care. As long as I can be a testimony to you and stand for truth, I'm not going to compromise doctrine in order to gain your favor. And he started showing me that God was one God. He started showing me the scriptures, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He started showing me Isaiah 9:6, where it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And when I heard that, and I seen it, I said, oh Lord, I went into my room and I said, you need to leave me alone. Leave me alone, man. He goes, no, I got more No, leave me alone, man. I went in there and I cried out to God. And I said, God, you better show me who you are. Lord, are you a Trinity or are you one God? And I started crying. I fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. I didn't come out of my room. I said, God, you're going to show me. And he said, well, look what I got here. Look what I got here. Look what I got here. Oh, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then I read, and it said, for this is that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then I started reading, and it said, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to tell another story. I want to say 1 Timothy 3:16 so badly. Amen. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing our trespasses unto us, but has given unto us the word of reconciliation. So that showed me that there was a God living in a man that walked on this earth to save us from our sins. And then I read that without controversy, without any argument, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. I said, hallelujah. And then I started seeing more and more and more. And I started going into the church and I said, look what I found, guys. Look what I found. And I was so excited and I would cry up on testimony night. And they didn't even know why I was crying. It's because I was seeing the oneness of God. And then they allowed me to teach, and I taught a 5-week Bible study on the oneness of God. And they started seeing it and men were being blessed. The man who ran the chapel came up and said, where did you get this? And I said, fasting and prayer, brother. You got to search the word. And he said, my goodness. But then I started preaching the new birth. You must repent. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you must be filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And when I said that, all, as they say, hell broke loose. And you know what? But the gates of hell should not prevail against the truth in the church. And as I started preaching it, They started pushing against it, and they said, you're out of here. And they kicked me out of that church. But I said, praise the Lord. They said, I was possessed with the devil. Stay away from that guy. But they started asking, what's going on? They asked me, how come they're kicking you out of the church? Well, let me tell you, you got 30 minutes. And I would share the gospel, amen, and they would see it, and they would say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We started having Bible study on the yard on the bleachers, preaching the new birth, preaching the oneness of God, preaching holiness, standing with the love of God. And men were being filled with the Holy Ghost on the yard, on the 1,200-man yard, speaking in tongues, worshiping God. Well, there was gangsters around us, CEOs walking around, and we're out there, and we're not there because we're with Jesus, amen? And as we went forward, we kept fasting and praying because they were denying Jesus' name baptism. The chaplain of the church came against us, and I better hurry. But all I know is that after that, amen, God started moving. We started fasting and praying as a little church together. There may have been 7 to 10 of us, but we started believing God, and we met every day for prayer. We fasted, and we gave out little notes saying, this is your day to fast. This is my day to fast. We're going to fast this whole week. We're going to fast this week. And there would be days where we only had 4 men fasting. I would take up the extra 3 because I wanted to see God be blessed. I wanted to see this truth go forward because I knew it was what the one that would deliver us, the one that would change us, the one that would give us eternal life, the one that we wouldn't have to go back to prison no more. And as I seen men's lives being transformed, I knew that was where we had to speak. So as we went forward, God opened the doors and Chaplain Chambers came and they baptized us. They wouldn't even allow him to baptize us in the chapel. We went out into the visiting room and I was rebaptized again by them in Jesus' name. Because I just wanted to be baptized by an apostolic minister, amen? And as we went forward, we had 12 more men that wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And as we fasted and prayed and believed God because the chaplain went against us, God moved on the Indian chaplain and she helped us to have baptism service. And 30, man, there were so many people being blessed and men were coming out of the water filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was revival going on after that, and God blessed it, and we kept fasting and praying, and we kept believing God, and men were being blessed with the revelation of truth, and next thing I know, we started saying, God, we need a ministry, Lord. We need time in that chapel. We need to be able to be a witness, Lord. And God moved, and Brother Ben Cruz came in, and we started having services, and I left that place, and it was on fire. And from what I know now, it's a church, amen? It's a church behind prison, but it's a real church. And I thank the Lord for that. And now it's on 3 yards. And it's because God is faithful, amen? And as we show forth that we really love Him and we can be faithful, He'll move. And then they moved me again. And I walked into federal prison, and there was nothing there. I went to the chapel services, and oh, praise the Lord. Laredo. I got to stop at Laredo for 2 months, and as I was there, I got to witness to a young man named Kamon Day, and as I witnessed to him, I said, Kamon, you want to come pray with me? He said, yeah, I want to come pray with you. And as we prayed, he began to pray, and I had already spoke to him about the new birth, and he started worshiping God, and we pressed on and pressed on, and he repented, and snot and tears flying everywhere. Next thing I know, this man is speaking in other tongues, worshiping God, and he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop speaking in tongues. He had to go in his room, and I went in there, and he's speaking in tongues on the bed, and he tried to call his wife, and he's speaking in tongues to her on the phone, and she's like, I can't stop it. I can't stop it. And he's speaking and praising the Lord. And next thing I know, I leave, and I go. 2 days later, I leave, and I wind up meeting him again over there, praise the Lord. But as I go there, now I went to the chapel, and it's nothing. No Spirit of God, no witness, and I went back to my cell and I wept and I cried to the Lord and I said, Lord, if you can use me here, do it. Lord, would you please bless this place? These men need you. And praise God, I kept pressing on and I told the chaplain that I wanted to start this and start a ministry here, apostolic ministry. I told him what we believe and I said, you know, I know you don't believe what I believe. I said, but I believe it with all my heart and I really like to get something started. And he said, yeah, we'll help you. I told him about what happened last prison. He said, we'll help you. But he was just smiling in my face. He pushed me away for 6 months. Every time I would go and I would say, what's going on? We're working on it. We're working on it. We're working on it. Praise God. God moved. And the new assistant warden came. He helped me start apostolic videos there. And then a week later, a Muslim chaplain came and took over the head chaplain. And I told him what I'd really been wanting to do and how I'd been asked to been really trying to do this, and we had ministers available that want to come in, and he said, you know what, I'll help you. And God moved upon an Indian chaplain in the state prison and a Muslim chaplain in the federal prison, not even on a Christian chaplain, and he used them to help us open up apostolic ministry. But through that, through those 6 months that I was waiting, I was fasting and praying by myself, the only apostolic child there, and I would witness to men, and they allowed me to teach, and a brother named Angel Torres, amen. He heard it, and he was a gangbanger. He was a Southsider, and he was bad. But you know what? He sat down and heard it. And when I witnessed him and sat in his room that night and told him about it all, and I told him about my testimony, he looked up at me with tears. And he said, will you pray with me that I can be saved? And I said, yes, brother. Let's get on our knees. And we wept, and we let snot sling again. And we pressed on through. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. And next thing I know, he's serving God diligently, separating himself. And he walked out. And he walked out of that prison, and his girlfriend, he went and straight to the church, got married to her. And they both got baptized in the name of Jesus together. 2 weeks later, she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've seen them, and they're beautiful today. They're apostolic children of God. And next thing I know, another young man came, and he was hooked on drugs, and he said, I don't think I can beat these drugs when I get out. I said, well, you know, you need the Holy Ghost, and I explained it to him. And he said, I don't even think, I got cravings, I don't even think I can do it. And I gave him some wisdom. I said, but you know what, if you keep doing it, you're going to go to hell. And he sat and he thought about it, and he started crying. And he said, oh God, forgive me, a sinner. And he wept. And he wept and he cried, and I cried with him, and we pressed on, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started speaking in tongues and worshiping the Lord. And next thing you know, he was walking with the Lord, but he had trials in there. He had trials because he just didn't know how to say no to his friends. He loved them so much. And he went through it. Last I know, he's out there. I don't know where he's at. Keep him in prayer, Anthony Cortez. But God filled him, and God's not going to let him go. And next thing I know, another brother came, and he knocked on my door with his Bible. He was leaving 2 days later, and he said, Raymond, you have something to share with me? I said, I sure do. I said, come on in, brother. And I showed him the new birth, and I showed him the truth, and I showed him the oneness of God, and he seen me. He said, oh, Lord. He said, I see it, I see it. And I said, yes. And he goes, I need to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. I go, yes. Let me give you the address to a church out there. So I said, well, let's just pray and thank God that you see the truth. I wasn't expecting to pray with him to be filled. And I'm praying and I'm thanking the Lord. And he's saying, yes, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, Lord. And so I stopped and I said, brother, get on your knees. And we started pressing on. And he started repenting and crying out to God. And I'm telling you, a demon had to be left out of that young man because he was involved in the occult, looking at messing with a Ouija board, messing with horoscopes. That's why you've got to stay away from that junk. And God broke it. I could feel the blackness just lift away. And he started speaking in tongues and worshiping God. And just praying and rolling all over. Amen. And he walked. I seen him the next morning shining like the sun. And he said, life is so beautiful. He said, I see it now. He said, I can hear and I can see it. And the light is so different. I said, yeah, brother. He said, I don't even want to look at that stinking TV. I walked out and seen it. I turned around. I said, you're doing the right thing. Amen. And he said, And he walked out of there 2 days later. I don't know where he's at. He lives in Oakland, but God blessed him. Amen. But all through that, and as I stood with the Lord, God blessed all these men. And from that, God opened the door for apostolic ministry. By the time I left, we were having services every Wednesday night. I'm not here to brag about how many people were coming, but on Sunday on Saturdays when they have their Protestant services, one person might go to the church. One or two, excuse me. Sometimes none. But in our services on Wednesday nights, 15 to 25 people were going and being blessed. And I just heard the other day, Brother Mickey said that someone was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And people are requesting to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So God started a ministry there. And why I'm telling you all this, because I know that God is a life changer. I know that this is the truth. I don't have to search no longer. I know that just because we're called apostolic and we're Pentecostal, it looks like a denomination, but it's not. The only reason why we're apostolic is because we believe the apostles' doctrine. The only why we're Pentecost is because we know it's truth. And we know that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And we know that's what happened then. And it happens today. And that's the only reason why we stand for that name. So they'll know that we stand for the name above all other names. They'll know that we stand for the new birth. And the whole thing is, I'm not ashamed to be apostolic. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. And I know I'm not in any denomination. I'm in the body of Christ. Amen. I'm in the bride. I am the bride of Christ. That's who I really am. And that's who I'm waiting for, my husband, and he's coming for us soon. I don't have to search no longer. I've fought with every kind of doctrine, but I know this doctrine is truth. And I'm going to walk with you, brothers and sisters. I'm going to walk with Jesus, and I'm going to glorify his name, and I'm going to walk as a restored soul, just as you, again, your children that are backslidden will be here one day. Stand for it and walk with Jesus. Amen. I love you. Hallelujah.
I tried to tell you about him, but I just... That was beautiful, wasn't it? I just could not explain what was happening. And as he would call me, he'd call me from out at Laredo one night. Brother Mickey, I want you to rejoice with me.
Hallelujah.
Well, I was kind of curious, and then he told me he came in day. I was speaking in tongues. And we just had a good old time on the phone, and I called my pastor and told him. Brother Frost went out to see Cayman Day. They wouldn't let me in. He said when he saw him, his face just lit up. Just said he had that Holy Ghost glow. And then when he got transferred, he called me lots of times, but he has this special way of saying, Brother Mickey, I want you to rejoice with me. And then I know what's happening. I don't remember whether it was three or four times in L.A. in the Metropolitan Detention Center that he called me and said that, but each time it was really beautiful. Precious. You know, that I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. People would just be really just shocked to see that there really is a church in prison. You don't have to. I'm glad we have organization. I'm glad we have a church body. I love it. It's my support group. It means everything to me. But there is a church in there.
Yes.
And it's I can't really explain what I'm trying to say, but there's God has a church in there. There's people that are going through a lot of persecution. Just over what they believe. You'd think in the United States that doesn't exist, but it does in prison. You are not allowed to worship the way that you want to in there, and certainly discouraged in it. When there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of men like Raymond still in there.
Yeah.
Testifying. I remember somebody said there was somebody walking the yard in Folsom preaching Acts 2:38. Men were getting the Holy Ghost, getting baptized in Jesus' name. And then I met Raymond. Praise God. Well, we don't have a lot of time left. We haven't done our acts and our proclaiming reality. Who has the acts tonight? Okay, did you still want to do some acts tonight? Or?
Well, we're running short.
Okay, we're running really short. I've got to have Brother Raymond back. He has to be back at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to have to leave in 5 minutes to take him back. And Brother Richard, were you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Richard has something he wants to share tonight. You have 20 minutes, brother. Okay. We were going to sing another song, but we need to get right into this, so we'll...
Praise the Lord. I hope that's just the
beginning. Yes.
Since we're short on time and everything, you know, the one thing that I know about the Spirit of God that I've learned is that he always talks to all his congregation about the same thing. And I was going to read Reclaiming Reality, but since we have such a short time, I have also something in my heart that I believe that the Lord has put in my heart. It was in... do you mind if I kind of... Okay. I was studying this, I'll give you a little thing, as I studied chapter 3 of Reclaiming Reality, the Lord had given me a word. As I read the scriptures, I remember reading where there was a woman that she, you know, back in the time when Jesus was walking on the earth in the flesh, God was walking on the earth, lots of people used to hoard around him because he was healing the sick, healing blind eyes. But there was something else going on at that time. There was people that had been that similar lives to ours, that there was harlots that were being demons cast out of them, and there was demoniacs, people that were, you guys can be seated. I'm sorry. And I was reading in Luke chapter 7, where there was a woman that walked into a Pharisee's house, and the Bible says that she was a sinner in that city. And as I was hearing the brother's testimony, and I know a lot of testimonies of our brethren here, I read right here in chapter 36, where it says, I'm just going to read the whole thing. It's a blessing. There's something very powerful in it. It goes in right hand in hand of what was going on here tonight. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. You were saying something earlier that you weep a lot. And I myself, I've seen brother, all these brethren here weep. And I said, I see myself here. And as I continued to read, it said, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, wherefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and they gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman, this sinner, has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins that are vile, her life, this woman that's rejected by you people that are religious, this woman that's a scumbag, like you might say, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom it is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I can tell you, the same Savior that sat at that meat that day
I've sat in services and I've seen heroin addicts and prostitutes come in and their arms are blackened, their collapsed veins. I've seen men walk through the doors that were hardened criminals. They have scars on their face. They came with the right attitude. I know of a man not too long ago that walked through that door. And he had a made-up mind. And he says, I got to find God. He sat right there. I didn't care who was sitting here. I didn't care if there was anybody who knew me or not. I had heard there was a Savior in this place. Just like this woman had heard that Jesus was going to be in that house. She didn't care that the people and the Pharisees would look down at her. She didn't care what they would say. She said, if I could only get to them. You want to know why you cry, brother? Brother Mickey, you want to know why you cry? You want to know why you weep? Because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I can feel the power and the forgiving glory of God's Spirit every time I come to worship. I've seen heroin addicts. I've seen gangsters, murderers, liars, adulterers. I've seen them changed by the power and the glory of our forgiving God. I've seen them walk out of here with a new life and a new attitude. Hallelujah. Jesus said that whoever has humbled himself, he would never turn him away. The evidence is here in the scriptures. This woman, the Bible has it in Matthew and in Mark, where Jesus thought so much about this woman's heart that he put her in his eternal word forever, her testimony. The brother was saying that they overcame him by the power of his testimony. This woman's testimony, Jesus decided to put her testimony eternally in his word. For he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He said, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this, what she has done to me, will be a memorial to her. That's how much Jesus loves the sinner. That's how much he loves me and you and everybody else who will come to him. He put her down three times in his eternal word. He put the demoniac's testimony and among many, many others. I want to thank God that he loved me enough to bring me to this place and change my life. To give me brethren that love me. In a place that I can live and grow. I thank God for my pastor and the ministry of this church. I thank God for him and his name and his water baptism and his mighty spirit. Forgive me if I get emotional. But God took that mean demonic spirit that I had and he gave me a heart of flesh and he filled me with his love and his glory. God bless you.
Hallelujah. We praise you tonight, Jesus. We praise you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, mighty God, for your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Calvary, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of these days, by faith, my daughter's going to testify. And you may be seated. I believe she's got a tremendous testimony because when she was growing up, you know, she's never done drugs. She's never done anything, but she's seen the effects of what drug can do to a person. She's seen the effects what the drugs done to my life. And I just thank God for a praying church. I thank God for the people of God that were able to teach my daughter
when she was a young student here at Bethel Apostolic Academy. Thank God for my pastor. You know that they were able to teach, or that they are able to teach, you know, the Word of God to children, to the students here. Because Sister Seymour, she would tell Delana to fast. You know, she would get, you know, certain people and you know, kids that were going through different problems and different trials in their homes and stuff. And I remember, you know, from the testimonies that they would tell me later after the Lord delivered me from the mess that I was in, but they would fast. She would fast for her dad. Where would I be without those prayers? Where would I be? I would be in a devil's hell right now. I believe it. The devil wanted to take my life. The devil wanted me. He wanted me, and just like he wants a lot of other people, because he knows his time is short. He's furious right now. But thank God, like the brother said, where sin abound, much more grace shall abound. And I thank God that we're able to stand. And we're more, like the scripture said, we are more than conquerors. I thank God that we're, you know, we're trusting in God right now. This is a critical time, and we're trusting in God for those that have gone astray, those that need a touch of God. You know, we all have needs here, and by us binding together our faith, by us gathering together and seeking the Lord, I believe that God is going to do a great work. I believe God is doing a great work already. If he did it for me, I was beyond hope. I was beyond, you know, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it back. But I thank God. And I thank God when I made it back, I remember going to the outreach on North Kern and Irene, and I was a mess. I was my mind, you know, even though I was praying through at the time, you know, after the Lord brought me back, you know, into his fold, I remember Brother Frost, you know, coming up to me and hugging me. And those words will never forget. You know, he quoted that scripture, you know, forgetting the things which are behind.
Yes.
He gave me a hug. I remember that, Brother Frost. He gave me a hug, and he told me, forgetting the things which are behind, press forward to the things which are before. And I thank God, because those were encouraging words. I needed to hear those words, because my mind was just a mess. But I thank God that God delivered me, and I thank God that he's still restoring my mind. He's still restoring my mind, praise God. Well, I just want to make this, we have a few minutes. I want to open up this time. Let's all stand. I want to open up these few minutes. If you'd like prayer, if you want to come up to these altars right now, they're open right now. If you want prayer, I want to make an invitation to you. If you want a touch from God tonight, praise God. If you want a special touch, if you have a need in your life, and you want to come, I would like to invite you to come to these altars right now and receive something from God. Don't put off till tomorrow what you could do today. God wants to touch you tonight. Praise God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, we praise you tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We appreciate your love, God. We appreciate all that you've done for us, mighty God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, for loving us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. Oh, we thank you for the love that you poured out, mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your Spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am.
Let your spirit move through me. Here I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's that simple. It's that simple. Just telling the Lord, just raising your hands up to the Lord and just saying, Lord, here I am. Let your spirit, Lord God, come upon me, Lord God. Let your spirit, Lord God, fill my emptiness, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come into my life, mighty God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing it one more time. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me. Here I am. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord God. We thank you, mighty God, for your strength, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that was said and done here tonight, mighty God. We praise you tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for doing a great work in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping your hand, Lord God, upon those that have strayed away, God. We thank you, Lord God, for pouring out your mercy, Lord God, on those that need you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to dismiss us in your peace, Lord God, but not from your presence, O Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.